Now, let's turn in our Bibles in the book of Genesis, chapter 22 and verse 9. Sure good to be back in the house of the Lord again tonight. Girls, that was good singing. That was good singing. They let me sing anytime I want to, before the service starts or after it's over. Amen. Amen. Now, here in Genesis 22 and verse 9, we find the Bible said, and they came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, let's say it together for a little while, as the Lord would give liberty, and as you would pray, on some things that Abraham laid on the altar. The altar is a good place to lay everything. And we want to look at this for a little while, as the Lord would be pleased to give liberty. First of all, I find that Abraham laid his attention on the altar. Let me ask the question, if I may. Do you ever have a problem giving God your undivided attention? Sometimes I have a problem with that. I'll just be honest with you. I have a problem sometimes giving God my undivided attention. Number one, when I got my mind settled on something. In my mind, I know I'm right. Sometimes if you check up on your thinking, you may be off course.
Yeah, you're right.
You ever have that problem?
Yes, sir.
Been there.
Yes, sir.
Anybody else ever have that problem?
Yes, sir.
No, you're right. Until you find out you're wrong. That's humiliating, isn't it? That's sure. Number one, it's not easy for me to give God my undivided attention when I've got my mind settled on something. Oh, and then it's not always easy for me to give God my undivided attention when I am influenced by someone else. Ever have that problem? I mean, you find something in the Word of God and you've got it settled in your heart, soul, and mind, this is the way it's to go. But then what's somebody else going to think about it? You have that problem? Not always you reach in there, so to speak, and pull that out and tear it up and throw it away and say, Lord, not my will, your will be done.
Amen.
When you're influenced by someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then another thing that kind of blocks my line of thought when I'm trying to give God my undivided attention, and that is when money's involved. Someone said, money don't bring happiness. It just drives misery away. It'd be that, wouldn't it? Back a few years ago, Christmas time was approaching, and our finances was a little bit low. I'll be honest with you, I don't tell this everywhere, but our finances was low enough till I could count them. I remember one time our offering for the month was $7. You say, explain that, preacher. The only biblical explanation I've got is poor preach, poor pay. So. All I know, tell you. Preacher, if you're not satisfied with your offering, you might want to increase in your preaching. Amen. But anyway, the thought came to me, I'll go up to the sawmill and I'll work a few days and They'll give me a little extra money and we'll have a little extra Christmas. All settled. Pillow my head on that. That place is all right. Sure enough, I went up there and worked a few days, and a lot of times they paid with food stamps, but this time they had some money. And I took that money and I went in the bedroom and used it for an altar, so to speak, and I laid it before the Lord. And you know, sometimes you can just read him, can't you? Know exactly what you're going to do before he does it. In my heart, soul, and mind, it was settled. The Lord is going to say, Earl, you take this money and have an extra Christmas with it. I knew he was going to say that. I knew exactly what he was going to say. Sometimes you can't read. Sometimes you can't read. And sure enough, the Lord did. He spoke to my heart. And he said, take that money and pay your taxes with it. Lord, have mercy. Do you think it'd be against the law to pay taxes with hard-earned money from the sawmill at Christmas time? That wasn't easy. Hard time giving God my undivided attention when money's involved. Anybody else say amen? Even Brother Ross could say amen. 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 Then, not only so, but like I said, when I'm influenced by someone else, what have I got my mind settled? But we find that Abraham here had his attention on the altar. He gave God his undivided attention. Makes it easier. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. We're far ahead, good people. I mean, we're far ahead to move everything out of the way and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Life is more pleasant. Easier to cope with. Easier to get along with your neighbor. If you said, Lord, not my will, your will be done. He had his attention on the altar. Oh, and then, not only so, but we find it not only is his attention on the altar, but his receiver is on the altar. I believe that when God spoke to Abraham and told him what to do, I believe he received that message wholeheartedly. Just like a drowning man, our beloved's going down in the waters. Someone throws him a life jacket. He don't hesitate. How long would you hesitate if you're drowned and somebody throw you a life jacket? Right. I believe that's the way he received that message. Although the message consists of, Abraham, take your son Isaac, your only begotten son, the one you love, and offer him up a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I show you. Receive that message wholeheartedly. Do we receive the message wholeheartedly? I've realized this down through the years. If I do not receive that message wholeheartedly, very seldom ever get around to obeying it. Preacher, it's when I receive it. Wholeheartedly is when I obey. Abraham received it wholeheartedly. And then I want you to notice another thing he has on the altar. That is his respond. He didn't ask for any time to pray about it. Now let me ask you a question. I know the Bible teaches build on always to pray and not to faint. But let me ask you this. When the Word of God is as clear as the noonday sun, why pray about it? I mean, if you've got doubts about it, if you're confused about it, if you're off track in regards to it, pray, 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 pray. But if it's as clear as a noonday sun, why pray about something that's that clear? It'd just be like saying, are the lights burning? You know they're burning. Why ask anybody if the lights are burning? It's just that simple. When it's as clear as the noonday sun, and don't you believe that God Almighty can speak clearly? I said this before. Some people say, I don't really believe that God speaks to people. Well, look at it like this. He speaks to people that listen to him. Let me ask you a question. Do you enjoy talking to people that won't listen to you?
No.
I was talking to a fellow one time and he wouldn't hear the word I said. I got aggravated at him. I felt like slapping his jaw. I said to him, I've heard Brother Jerry Ross preach. I've got something good to tell you. Listen to me. He didn't. Heard some other good preachers. I've got something to tell you. You need to know. Listen to me. When I woke up, I was talking to a wooden Indian. Crazy thing, wouldn't listen to a word I said. Quit talking to him. I say, God in heaven, even appreciate people that will listen to what he has to say. Listen to me. Family love, that there's really no point in praying about the will of God when it's as clear to you as it was to Abraham. He had a listening ear. He had an obedient heart. Amen. And then listen, dear Lord, we find that his response here was completely on the altar. On the altar. He responds with no hesitation. He don't hesitate. I say again, he asked for no time to even pray about it. He asked for no time even to think about it. One super good preacher, one of the best I know, he said, I always hesitate 3 days before I respond. Not Abraham. I mean, Abraham responds with no hesitation. I'm thinking it was early in the morning when the Lord spoke to him. Early the same morning, he got everything ready on his way. What happened then? I mean, moving on with no hesitation. And then I don't intend to frustrate your convictions or your doctrine or anything like that, but Abraham didn't even take time to put out a fleece. God would have honored it. Could we dwell there for just a few minutes? God would have honored Abraham's fleece. He ought to get his fleece. And all of you know what that fleece is, a little piece of wool. And the Lord spoke to him, and he said, now, Gideon, you're a great man of valor. I'm going to use you to deliver the enemy in your hand. I'm going to give you victory. And he said, Lord, if you're really sincere, if you're really sincere, I'm going to put this little piece of wool out. And if you're really sincere, he said, let it be wet in the morning and all the earth be dry. No problem, oh God. God can do anything. He takes those you do. So the little fleece was wet. Rung a bowl of water out of it. And he said, Lord, I want to get the second opinion. I went to the doctor one time, and he just looked at me. He said, "Nothing wrong with you." And I said, "Well, Doc, I would really appreciate getting a second opinion." He said, "Well, you're ugly too." Talk about borrowing money, pay a doctor, tell you're ugly. And be back. I'm going to have to get mighty sick before I go back to him. All right, so we find that Gideon, he said, "Now, Lord, I'm going to put this fleece out again." And he said, "I want the fleece to be dry. I want the earth to be wet." God honored that. You think God would have any problem doing that? The God, listen, that holds the entire universe in the palm of his hand of gravity, would he have any problem wetting a little fleece? All things are possible with him. But now, Abraham didn't do that. Well, now, let's look at the difference between Gideon and Abraham. And Gideon, I beloved, is in Hebrews 11. He's found right there in the book of Hebrews 11. He had some faith. God heard his faith. But now, what is the difference? Abraham didn't need the fleece.
That's right. Amen.
He didn't need it.
That's right.
If he'd have needed the fleece, God in heaven would have suggested it. Who suggested it to begin with? Who said, "Put out a fleece"? It wasn't God. He didn't suggest it. Why? It wasn't me. It was Gideon. Now, in the light of the scripture, it says there, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." In the light of that, why do you need a fleece? Amen. So we find that Gideon puts out a fleece. God honors it. God will honor a little bit of faith. You don't have to have a whole bushel of faith to get God to heal on a little bit of faith.
Yep.
Under any circumstance, a little bit of faith. But now we find here that Gideon, really, be honest with you, I hesitate to say this, but Gideon was a little bit lazy. He wanted a few more days to relax. He was said, "There's a lion out there in the streets, and if I go out there and go to work, that lion will get me." A little bit slothful. A little bit disobedient. He had to have some proof that God was talking to him. The spoken word of God is sufficient within itself. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the mind, the soul, the soul, the spirit, the discerning of the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Right.
You can depend on it.
Right.
Pillow your head on it.
Yeah.
No, it's real.
Amen.
You don't have to have fleece.
Amen.
And then, another thing, if he had went the same way that Gideon went, he'd been at least 2 days late.
Yeah.
A number of things could happen in 2 days. Could get fired in 2 days. Could easily lose your job in 2 days. Your wife could leave you in 2 days.
Yeah.
So you're really better off. Really better off to leave the fleece alone and just obey the word.
Yeah. Amen.
And then another thing, the ram. Don't you believe that God had the ram on the time clock?
Yeah.
Yeah. If he went the way of Gideon, there's a great possibility he'd have missed the ram.
Yeah.
He'd have been in bad shape. That ram had to be there.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying humbly, tenderly, God will honor anyone that puts out a fleece, but he's more pleased. Don't the Bible say something like this? "Yet I show unto you a more excellent way."
Yeah.
There is a better way to do something.
And it's better just to take God at His word and go on without a fleece than just to put one out.
That's true. Go ahead and use your fleece if you want to, but at the same time, identify with it. You're not as macho as you think you are when you put a fleece down. You don't know as much as you think you know when you put a fleece down. You're not as strong as you think you are when you put a fleece down. I just suggest to you, leave it alone. Go ahead, obey the Lord. The word of the Lord is sufficient within itself. Sure is. And then, listen, dear beloved, we find not only does he venture out with no hesitation, let nothing stand between, he just went on. By faith, obey the Lord. After all, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Just take him at his word and go. And more honor to God. Give more glory to God when you just take him at his word. That's my prayer is, Lord, please help me. Just obey you. Yeah, just let me obey. Let me obey you. Amen. Oh, and then another thing, beloved, we find that is on the altar, and that is his endurance. Let me ask you a question, if I may. How long is the fuse on your endurance? I have a fairly long fuse until I get in a traffic jam. If I was getting paid by the hour, the time that I spent in the traffic jam, I wouldn't have to have an offer. Traffic jam. Don't they know I'm in a hurry? Don't they know I've got an important mission? Don't they know I need to get out of here? And I mean to tell you, woods on both sides. And both, all the lanes were bogged down, and I'm sitting there. I'm not shouting. My fuse is done blowed. Impatient. Maybe God ordains that to just give us a little time to wait on Him. The story goes, one of the great preachers of old, he was walking the floor, wringing his hands, couldn't be still. Someone said, "Preacher, what's the trouble?" He said, "I'm in a hurry, but God's not." Yes, dear beloved, we find endurance is not always easy to cope with. Now, we find that his endurance is on the altar. I give you about three things here that makes the way hard for Abraham. Number one, the silence of God. God in heaven spoke to him at point one, told him, said, "Abraham, take Isaac, your son, offer him an offering on one of the mountains that I show thee of." Step back, never spoke to him no more to the finish line. Now that's not easy. I've been trying to preach now, trying to walk with the Lord for about 60 something years. Some of the hardest experiences, good people, I have to this day is when God is silent. God, you know I need this. And he seems to pay no attention. When the Lord will hover over you, speak kind words to you, and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," you walk through the fire. But brother, on Abraham's occasion, he steps back and leaves the entire journey to Abraham's obedience.
Yeah, that's right.
There it is, Abraham. Carry out the Great Commission. Abraham had never done that if he hadn't had it on the altar. Right. When you got it on the altar, it's not my will, but your will be done.
Yes.
Not my will, but your will be done.
Right.
Need everything. We need everything on the altar. On the altar. Then, listen, dear beloved, not only do we find that Abraham has it on the altar, asked for no time to think about it, no time to pray about it, just on his way, and endures all the hardness. The next thing I want to call your attention to is the invasion from the enemy. Makes it hard. Not only the silence of God makes it hard for him, but the invasion from the enemy. Do you have any problem identifying with the devil? Anybody? Anybody ever have any problem identifying with the devil? I never knew anything about spiritual life. I got saved. And I mean, I'm honest with you, people. There was a question in my mind. Are there a real devil? Is there a real devil? I asked the preacher that was preaching in the meeting before I got saved. I said, is it true that there's a real devil? I had my answer the next day. Oh, he met with me like hitting head on with a freight train. The Lord wasn't nowhere around. I found out real quick he's real. I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt in my heart, soul, and mind, before Abraham took one step, the devil invaded his life. I mean, the devil got him in that sister. Someone may say, preacher, the devil never has had me in that sister. I don't believe I'd tell anybody. I wouldn't want them to know I was that far away from God. I'm far enough away from it, as it is, without advertising that I've never been in the devil's sifter. What's the purpose of him getting in that sifter? He sees some good in your life. The devil, when he desires, I'd have you in that sister. He sees some good in your life. He wants to sift it out. That's the purpose of it. He wants to sift it out of your life. He sure does. Remember the Lord said, Simon, Satan had desired to have you. He may sift you as wheat. Amen. He saw some good in Peter's life, and he wants to sift it out. I give you about three things that the devil desires to sift out of your life. And if it's not there, he may not have no desire. Wouldn't that be a compliment? Well, think about this. Would you enjoy walking up in the presence of the Lord over at the judgment seat of Christ and salute him and say, Lord, I'm so thankful the devil never had no desire to have me in his sifter? The Lord might say, I'm ashamed of you. I'm serious. He may do it. People that's ever done anything to the glory of God, the devil has had a desire to have that person in that sifter. He may sift it out. He don't want you to do it no more. We find, number one, the devil desires to sift out of your life your faithful attendance in the house of God. Do you think the devil is clapping his hand and well pleased for this congregation to be here tonight? He'd rather you wouldn't be here. He'd rather you be doing most anything rather than being here in the house of God worshiping him. The devil don't like that. The devil hates the church. The devil hates the pastor. The devil hates the missionary. And he wants to sift out the faithful attendance, and then he wants to sift out your cheerful giving. They don't appreciate you giving, contributing to the work of the Lord. Now, if Abraham had been offered to the devil, it'd been all right. But since he was left out, he hates that. He despises that. Some of the most terrible battles even I've had in all my ministry because of giving. Well, mark it down, good people. The devil doesn't appreciate you giving to the work of the Lord. He can point out a million things more necessary for you to do with that money than to put it in the house of God. Okay? He don't like it. Fight you about it. He'll fight you about it. He sure will. And then, number three, he wants to sift out your praise. Sad to say,
But seem like in a lot of churches, not all churches, but a lot of churches, that's a missing link. You don't see a whole lot of praise going on. Someone say, preacher, I'm a little bit bashful. I'm a little bit timid. I don't like to do things like that in public. Well, I suggest to you, slip off in the closet. Cut the light out. Lock the door. Throw the key away. And give the Lord a little bit of praise. It'll work, won't it? It'll work. If you do that from the heart, the Lord may kind of move on the scene. You'll jump out on the housetop. Amen! I well remember what about the first sermons I tried to preach. And I pulled up there on the streets, and I knew the devil was looking at me. I knew he was looking at me, wanting to get hold of me. And I didn't want him to see me. I didn't want to see him. I know he's looking at me, but I didn't want to see him. Close my eyes. Just close it real tight. Locked him in. I don't want to see that fella. I opened up my little service. Man, the Lord moved on the scene. And I said, wish the whole world was here. God in heaven will recognize praise even if it's in the dark. After all, he's the one you're praising. Amen. He's the one you're praising. And then, thirdly, he wants to sift out your praise, because sometimes he gets you thinking, I just don't have anything to praise him for. Bye, if we ever entertain that thought, we're looking through a glass real darkly, aren't we? Don't have nothing. Don't have nothing to praise the Lord for. Let me suggest to you, if my ship, so to speak, is sinking, going under, never to rise no more, my little wife, our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-great-grandchildren, all in the ship, all going under. Everything we've got, even my little car, going under. As I go under the last and final time, he's worthy of my praise. If you praise him when you're going under, he may step down and stop the leak. The circumstances can never get so bad till he can't bless. He can reach way down below the bottom, pick you up, set you in heavenly places. Isn't it wonderful? Years ago, the story goes of a Texan, and they're witty people. I know some of them. They can tell you things that's never happened. Yeah. They can do it. And make you believe it. Aren't you glad you're from Texas? Amen. Anyway, this Texan standing up there, oh, he was spellbound. Eyes was glued on Niagara Falls. Water spewing everywhere. Yankee stepped up and said, Tech, you don't have nothing like that in Texas, do you? He said, no. But in the same breath, he said, we got a plumber, fix that leak. Such a Texas plumber can fix the leak of Niagara Falls. I believe God can fix the leak in your ship when you sail. I know there's times that look like it's finally gone, but to God, all things are possible. Yeah. I told you, all things are possible. Yes, I take care of this one. Amen. Oh, listen, beloved. We find that the devil, when he invades your life, his purpose, intention, desire, it's to sift everything out of your life that's give glory to God. So he made hard Abraham. Now, I'll give you another point here. We'll try to close. How much time we got tonight, preacher?
much as 2 a.m. Yeah. You be here with me. 2 a.m. Amen. The finished course. All right, one more little point we'll slip in there, though, before we go to the finished course. And that is, the next thing that made it hard for Abraham was the weight of the sacrifice.
That's true. That's good.
The weight of the sacrifice. Don't you believe Abraham loved that little boy as much as you love yours?
Yeah.
Would it be easy to take that little child and lay him on the altar, burn offering? You have to have that situation on the altar before you ever do that. You turn back right there if you don't have it on the altar. That's the truth. I was down in McGee, Mississippi a few years ago at a meeting down there. And these good people, they wasn't attending the meeting, to my knowledge. But they had 2 little girls. One was 11, the other one 14. Mother and dad tucked them away in bed that night, and sometime during the night, in some way during the night, fire broke out. Mother and dad escaped through a broken window. But those 2 precious little girls was overwhelmed with fire and smoke. They didn't make it. They died. I went to the funeral. On this side, a little casket. On this side, a little casket. Their pictures. That's what Abraham's got to love and embrace after he finishes his course. You'll have to have it on the altar before you go that far. You'll back up. You will back up unless you've got it on the altar. You sure will. Think about this. After Abraham has finished offering Isaac, the only thing he's got left is just like that mother and dad, ashes. All the promises that hinge on Isaac. Be left empty handed. You'll not go that far with the Lord unless you've got it on the altar. I believe that with all my heart. There's times I say that I, even I, want to turn back without going that far. I'm just confessing the weakness of the flesh. It's not always easy to lay everything unconditionally on the altar, but that's the best way to go. Far, by far, the best way to go. On the altar. Well, now we find that Abraham, he goes on with the finished course. Finished course on the altar. Wouldn't it be a heartache? Make shipwreck at the finished course. I wouldn't want to do that with you. I wouldn't want to make shipwreck at the finished course. We find Abraham arrives at the place God had told him of, built an altar, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac, and laid him on the altar. And I don't believe Isaac had any resistance at all. Don't believe he had any resistance at all. Now let me drop this in right there. Coming up the hill, we find that Isaac said, "Where is the lamb?" Abraham knew all the time that Isaac was going to be the lamb, but he spoke a prophetic truth. He said the Lord would provide. Well, I think here what the Lord has in mind is for Isaac to have that personal experience with him, directly from him. You know, I can listen to some of the best of preachers, and I appreciate it beyond, but there's just something special when the Lord just says, "Earl." And I believe that the Lord kindly helped that back from him. Just had Abraham to say, "The Lord," and he would. I mean, if Isaac himself had actually been offered up, it'd been the Lord doing it. And I believe that the Lord just kindly give Abraham these thoughts. Just tell him the Lord will supply. But then when the time comes, Isaac is bound and he's on the altar. And Abraham got the knife in his hand. 2 seconds, Isaac be dead. But when God looked on the scene, he said, Abraham fears me. Abraham trusts me. Abraham obeys me. And I'm just going to let Isaac realize that. And I'm going to let him know that I have ordained it, that the ram take his place. Or do the impossible. Has he ever done the impossible for you? I mean, look, like all hopes are gone. And the Lord, unexpectedly really, just reveal himself. Make everything clear. I believe that's what the Lord had in mind. Let him have that personal relation with me. Instead of Abraham telling him, just let him have that personal. That personal. It's personal. It's good for somebody else to hear it, but it seems like it's so much better when the Lord just talks to you. Amen. All right, so we find, he said to Abraham, now look at this. He spoke to him one time in the beginning to get him to go. Had to speak to him twice, get stopped. But he had it sewed up. He had his heart in it. No turning back. God in heaven said, Abraham, touch him not. Do him no harm. You prove to me. You fear me, seeing you hadn't with yet your only son's woman. He said, the ram, entangled with the horse. Take him. Offer him instead. Man. To say the least, and I close with this. You don't believe it. I am. I'm going to close. Trip back down the hill was different.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, God, dude. I say the trip back down the hill was deferred. I can see Abraham and Isaac as they embraced one another. The little Isaac said, I'm glad you didn't give up. Preacher, they'll be glad you didn't give up. Don't quit. If I quit, you don't follow my footsteps. Don't quit. Don't quit the good work. Do the good work of faith. Keep it going. Hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Been faithful over a few things, make it rule over many things. Stay with it. All of you, stay with it. Stay with it. You got a good church. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. So we find they embrace one another and they go skipping down the hill. Man, don't you know they enjoy that skip? They're skipping down the hill. And in my mind, I can see the Lord as he's kind of backed up in the bushes a little bit around the corner, around the curve down there. Abraham and Isaac's coming down the mountain, down the trail, rejoicing. He steps out in the path, and as they come around in view, he gives them a salute. You put on the altar, God will give you a salute. Well done! So precious, isn't it? Have his approval. Come over here, Abraham. Sit down under the shade. We'll talk to you. Look up. See all the stars. Count them. Count them stars. For every one of them, I bless you. Go down to the seashore. All them little grains of sand. Count them. I believe you're still counting. Amen. I believe with all my heart, God is still looking for people that will put it all